What's going on, people? Welcome back to the Build Up. I know it's been a while since I've said that, since we've recorded a pod, but you know, life happens, Manchester United happens, and we've been on a brief hiatus, but we are back and better than ever. And there's a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of news regarding the club, regarding every facet of the club, from management to leadership to the actual on the pitch football to the players. So we're very excited to be back. Sorry for the hiatus again, but we won't be taking that long of a break for much longer. Back with the boys, Hassan and Abu, back here with me. How you guys doing?
Yo, I'm good.
Yo, I'm great. Back to ST, man. Back. Let's get it.
Finally, man.
We are so back. And I think the last... Did we even talk about the FA Cup final?
I don't think we did. I think we just clocked out of the season after that.
Yeah, it was just like we were just over it. But since we had last talked, United won the FA Cup final. Kobbie Mainoo scored in the final. We beat City. And Ten Hag got a new contract, and he was saved by the club. They, as he said, they Ineos popped up at his front door, and wherever he was on his vacation, ruined his holiday, I think he said, on Dutch.
Ibiza.
Ibiza, yeah, exactly.
He was in busy getting litty, and then he got a job back.
Yeah, and, you know, now we're linked to all these new players. Dan Ashworth is coming. There's so much going on at the club, so I think we should just start with the manager situation. I think, I don't know, were you guys surprised to see Ten Hag keep his job? Do you think that decision was justified, or how did you feel about it when it was announced, and then how are you settled with it now?
When it was announced, I can say I was equally shocked and angry. I was shocked that they kept him after we finished 8th on negative goal difference, no style of play. And it seemed like they did it based off the FA Cup final, which was a great result, don't get me wrong. But it just proved to me that he's a cup manager rather than a league manager. So I thought Ineos would have taken that into consideration and would have taken the whole season into consideration instead of just that one result. So I was pretty shocked because I wanted, as everyone on my Twitter timeline would know, I wanted Thomas Tuchel. Even though he never had a great time at Bayern, I believe with the great structure underneath him at United, I believe he would have done great for us. I believe he's perfect for the managerial role. Very shocked. But, you know, a few months has passed. I'm still not happy about it, but I got to, you know, bite my tongue and just hope Ineos made the right decision.
Yeah. Well, first, I was surprised. Very much so, because The Guardian said he was sacked no matter what. Like so many of the journalists said, he was likely to go. We were having so many talks with other managers. And yeah, I was shocked. But I just know that Ineos had something planned. And now that you ask, I'm settled with it because of, obviously, Ruud van Nistelrooy coming in and Rene coming in. So I feel like we are building a good coaching setup, and it's just not on the manager now, all of it. So I think we are going to get some sort of improvements and like a different sort of setup, and with new players coming in as well. So I'm not annoyed. I'm just interested to see how it goes. But I'm more settled in with it than before after hearing who we're bringing in for the coaching setup.
Yeah, I think, at least for me, I thought it came down a lot more to the managerial market, and like the alternatives weren't up to par with, you know, if you're going to make that risk to sack the manager and go in a new direction, like the replacement has to be someone that you fully believe in. And I don't think
Ineos had
someone that they, I mean, they obviously talked to Tuchel. It just didn't work out for whatever reason, which is unfortunate. I would have loved Tuchel, but I think just, and then they also probably had, I think McKenna was a big target for them, but he, you know, decided to stay at Ipswich. So when you look at the rest of the managers out there, it just didn't seem like there was one that was like this is our
Yeah,
guy.
I just think any other manager would have been like, apart from McKenna and Tuchel, any other manager would have been a sideways step. And
Yeah, exactly.
there's no point doing that, especially when they're going to bring in more coaches and improve the setup on the training
Yeah.
ground. So, yeah.
100%. I think the Rude thing catch you guys off guard a lot, because I thought, I
Yeah,
mean, I think we got some intel in the chat from one of the chat members that he was nailed on for Burnley, and then Fabrizio was and a couple other people were briefing it, so I thought he was going to Burnley for sure, and then all of a sudden it's like he's just coming to United. So I mean, I love it. I think he's a top
yeah.
coach, and you know, he's gonna him and Hoyland, I think he could benefit him a lot there. And hopefully if we bring in like a Joshua Zirkzee or something, and just his like football intelligence and also like his experience as a player and just being a winner, I think will be a
Yeah.
huge benefit to the
He's
squad. But it was
yeah.
really surprising for me.
He did win the league with his PSV side as well as a manager. So we are bringing in a lot of experience. Obviously, people are going to say it's a Dutch league again, but his team was good in Europe. And obviously, he had Jad Branthwaite and Ifeadu's come too. So there is things that like are starting to come together. And I feel like with Ten Hag having two more coaches, I think it's going to be more of a collaborative process than one man rules all. I feel like, if there's problems, then, they've all got experience, even Rene, because he has experience as well, so they can filter out any issues.
I feel like for me, it was just you never see like a current young manager take a sideways step to be an assistant manager. If you get what I'm saying, like even not going to PSV to United, it's not, it's obviously it's always an upward step. But it's the fact that you never see like a manager who's done well suddenly step down and be like, okay, I'm gonna become an assistant. So that's why that was the most shocking thing to me, because I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Yeah,
But
it's
it was
yeah,
very
wait,
weird. It
but
was very weird.
let me just touch up on that. Van der Gaag, he's likely to be leaving as well. So, and he used to do a lot of like training sessions and off and like set up work for Ten Hag as well. And I think he used to do a lot of like sort of the structures and stuff like that and the styles and the pattern work, he used to do it as well. So I think if Ruud van Nistelrooy does come in, well, he is coming in obviously, but he will sort of take that role as well, and we'll get some sort of collaborative management on the setups with Rene coming in as well. So I feel like with Van if Van der Gaag does, I feel like he is going, that's why Ruud has come in. He's coming to take a proper hands-on approach with the team. So yeah, that's why I feel like he took the step rather than going to Burnley.
I mean, I hope so, because we all know Ten Hag, for in nicer words, did kind of bottle it a lot of times last season with his setup, especially out of possession. So having a young, exciting, well, having a young, exciting new manager who can bring in a fresh set of ideas, make a collaborative approach, hopefully he can help change that. And also, like you said before, he knows the club as well. He was a killer striker back in his day. Can do, hopefully can teach Hoyland that little magic needed in front of goal. And if Joshua Zirkzee comes as well, can help him out as well. I see nothing but positives.
What are we saying? Rude 2026?
Noticing.
It wouldn't be, I wouldn't be surprised if that's what he's thinking, to be honest. But also, I think us being Manchester United and a club that's so close to his heart also played a huge factor in him, like, I think making that sacrifice to maybe, take a step down to maybe take another step up in a couple years. But we'll see, but happy to have him. Okay, so that's the coaching. Some also some other big news, I think, came, was it yesterday or 2 days ago, that the Dan Ashworth, all of a sudden, all these things are kind of coming out of like left field. It's like all of a sudden, okay, it's just done, like the deal's just done now, he's just joining immediately. So yeah, Dan Ashworth is now officially a part of Manchester United. He probably is already starting. I think he was at United at the facility yesterday, talking to people, and he's just here, I guess, which is great and kind of unexpected again that it would happen, before the, I guess, the real meat of the transfer window started, but it's great to have him and hopefully he can get started. Yeah, how are you guys feeling about that?
Yeah, I feel like we've got all the structure in place at the top now, with especially the, however you pronounce it, Vivel. I don't know how you say his name.
Vivel?
yeah, but with him too. So I think they were saying something like they were waiting to make a Ten Hag decision based on Ashworth because they thought he'd been earlier. But he's obviously coming now and they made the decision already. So I feel like they are going to look to Dan Ashworth for to tie all the sort of pieces together. They'll report to him, then he'll obviously report to Dave at the top. But I feel like he will sort of link everything together on what we've just hired. So obviously head of recruitment, and then there's obviously the technical director, Wilcox. So yeah, it's exciting now that the structure is already in place and ready for the transfer window. So we'll just need to see how it goes.
For me, it's just, like Hassan said, it's just happy that he's finally here and that the whole long drawn-out process, which Newcastle promised us, didn't come to fruition, which I'm really happy about. And I think it's a sign of how the club is operating now, where in the sense that we're not getting all these leaks, rumours of what could be happening, what might be happening. Like, no, you're going to hear what's going to happen when we decide what's going to tell you, when we decide what's going to happen. So like this Ashworth news came out of nowhere, but as Hassan alluded to, it might have been agreed weeks ago. You know, Rude, obviously, they probably even talked to him since they decided they're going to keep on Ten Hag, but no one knew about it. You know, it's just, I'm happy with it. He's obviously a specialist, highly talented, done excellent work at Brighton and at Newcastle. And man, I hope he brings the expertise to United.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll just have to sit back and see kind of how this transfer window goes and what exactly the moves are that we make, the targets that we identify, and how we kind of move from there, how this new structure kind of operates. It seems like they are getting things churning, though. We've been linked with a couple targets. We've been, you know, poking our head in a couple areas, you know, over there in Everton, sussing out Jared Branthwaite, Matthias de Ligt, Joshua Zirkzee. We have two Dutch coaches coming in, and we're linked, our two strongest links are to two Dutch players. So not much has changed over here, but hopefully they're better buys, better players. The process is better. I kind of like how we're not going for, like, it seems like every, except for like Branthwaite, like De Ligt and Zirkzee seem like good deals. It's like around the 35-40 million dollar pound range, which is way better than, you know, obviously Antony for 100 million. Like, if it doesn't pan out, then it's only, you know, we didn't waste too much money. It just seems like smarter buys, so I like that so far. It seems like De Ligt and Zirkzee are the two strongest links. It seems like that De Ligt move is pretty much, like, I don't want to say nailed on, but it seems like he's only given us the green light, and, you know, it's more around like the structure of the deal now than anything else. I don't know if you can shed any light on that, Hassan.
Yeah, to rest what you just said, I think, yeah, there's nothing more. It's just like all out now. I think Chris Wheeler, the Daily Mail journalist, he said United are close, and obviously Bayern went to agree as well to a good deal. But the only thing that concerns me with De Ligt is his injury record. I just want him, I just feel like that may be the only issue, because when looking at him as like a pure defender, he is a really good defender. He can defend high up the pitch. He's obviously done it for Ajax and Ten Hag. And he was decent for Juventus as well. And under Bayern Munich, it's just not worked out. But he has shown how good he can be high up the pitch, and I think that's why we're going for him. He can obviously defend deep as well, and he's not slow, the slowest. I think we're sort of mistaken sometimes. He has got good leap. He's sort of like, you'd say, a younger Maguire that's quicker maybe, or more agile. I feel like that's how you'd like describe him to someone who's not watched him.
For De Ligt, for me, it's, again, very left field, very came out of nowhere. And on the face of it, you're kind of thinking, oh no, typical signing, just buying a big name. Because De Ligt is such a, is still a big name. But for me, he did, like, we gotta remember, like, he became number one centre back underneath Tuchel. He fought back from number five, number four to becoming number one and becoming the favourite pairing at Bayern alongside Eric Dier. He did quite well, in my opinion, in the Champions League against Madrid as well. So he's a leader, as we all know. Has he quite lived up to the promise he showed in 2019, 2020? No. But is he still a very good centre-back? Yes. And I do think at United, it could be a fresh start for him. You know, big club. Kind of familiar, obviously, with, you know, Ten Hag, you know, Ruud van Nistelrooy there, you know, the Dutch style of coaching, to be easier for him to assimilate. And, you know, again, with the injury problems, that's the only thing which is kind of like, I'm not too happy about, because we've had, you know, our injury problems are literally the story of our last season. So I don't want to keep on buying injury-prone players. But if he stays fit, does well, I can see him assimilating to the Premier League excellently. I think he has all the physical tools to do so. And I believe he can become an important player for us.
Yeah, he's very two-footed too. So I wouldn't be surprised if obviously we had injuries and he's filling on the left too, because he's played on the left, I think. So I think it's, I can't remember if it was for Bayern or Juve. He's played more than a few games on the left. So, and with De Ligt, you're obviously getting a player who, this cliche, but knows the system, blah, blah, blah. But he does have the, and like you said, he does have the capabilities to translate to the Premier League as well. So it's just getting over injuries. That's my only concern. But other than that, I'm fine with the move, really.
Yeah, the injuries would be the one thing for me as well, especially you know, we've obviously dealt with that so much last year, and especially with, you know, the right center back situation with Varane, as that was his only pretty much like drawback when he played. He was pretty much great every time, but his availability was a major issue. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, De Ligt is in, like, I saw something today, he was like training away from the Netherlands team at the Euros because he had some complaints. So, and he hasn't even really been playing. So that is definitely a concern. But if we're only spending, you know, 35 million, then I think it's a great deal. Moving on to Xerxes, I guess. Another one that was kind of like, I feel like some people in our chat like manifested it a little bit. He was, you know, pretty heavily linked to Milan. It seemed like he was almost nailed on to go there, and then it fell through, I guess, or something. He has a $40 million release clause, in which I believe we are, you know, ready to pay. It just comes down to, I'm not even sure what it comes down to be honest, if he wants to join us, basically. But it seems like that one is also pretty, you know, it's in a little bit more of an advanced stage. The Euros, or the tournaments in general, just kind of throw things off a little bit and kind of like make things a little bit more difficult. But I personally believe that I think it's the right idea to sign him. Like, someone with that sort of profile, someone that's a lot different than Hoyland profile wise. I think he's really gifted as a kind of more of a hold up number nine. His ability to drop deep and turn, his movement, his passing, I think is great. But there's also the likes of an Ivan Toney or a Solanke or someone else with that sort of skill set as well, but would probably be a bit more expensive. But they're also older, more experienced, Premier League proven, so to speak. So there's pros and cons to the Xerxes signing. He's 21, I believe, as well. So you wouldn't be getting a lot of experience like a lot of people would have wanted with that second striker signing, but I do think for the price, it's a good deal.
Yeah, I think the agent commission or whatever's holding that up, because he has the same agent as Carlos Tevez, and if you're old enough, you remember. You'd remember that. Yeah, as a player, he's more of a false nine. Like I said, he's more of like, he'll release the wingers, so he'd be good for Rashford. He'd be good for whoever plays on the right, if it's Garnacho, or if, you know, moving on to the next point after this, if he can sell enough right wingers, we can bring in one of our own, like a natural right winger. Yeah, so with him coming in, he'd be more of a false nine type. He wouldn't be like a Haaland, our Haaland players, trying to get him behind and be a target man. He'd drop deep more, and I think when we played We only played Bruno false nine a couple times last season as well. It'd be kind of similar setup, and the wingers would be obviously more narrower, and we'd have left backs that, you know, if we can keep Luke Shaw fit, and if we can keep Dalot fit as well, we'd have good sort of attacking players next season. And yeah, I feel like he does add a lot of depth, and he allows us to play a different way.
With Xerxes, like Hassan said, it's kind of like it did come a bit out of nowhere because everyone would have preferred a more experienced striker. Because Højlund, that boy's going to be a superstar. I don't care what he did in the Euros against Germany. I don't care what anyone says about him. That boy is going to be is a special boy. But we would have preferred someone more experienced in the meanwhile while he's still finding his feet. So buying another young striker, similar age, is kind of like, whoa. Especially one as highly touted as Xerxes because Xerxes has been around the block. For a few years now, he was highly touted since he was about 17, 16 at Bayern. Didn't work out. Now, Bologna performed excellently, even though he doesn't have crazy goal scoring numbers. Like, I think he's only scored 13. He, you know, played excellently with the wingers, can drop off, you know, alongside Lewis Ferguson and Orsolini, you know, was a formidable attack at Bologna last season. And I believe, you know, Rashford would benefit heavily. They'll have the most greenest link on Ultimate Team. In real life, I think it'll just be an excellent partnership with them two. And whichever right winger we get in, like Hassan said, the only thing I worry about is the fit with alongside Højlund. Like, how are you going to fit both of them at the same time, give both of them adequate game time? You know, is he still going to persist with that twin number nine false nine system? Or is he going to play two up top or with Xerxes just a little bit more, dropping into midfield a bit more? That's my literally my only worry, but everything else I love. You know, the price, 40 million steal again. You know, like I said, the agent could be a bit tricky, but agents are nowadays. That's modern football. But I love everything about this deal. But the only thing I don't like is that there's too many Dutch people at my club. There's too many Dutch people.
Be careful with that.
It's bro. We're getting colonized by the Dutch. I don't know if this is 1706 or 2024. I don't know what's going on.
We might have to cut that out, or ST's gonna be accused
of. You're gonna have Cam say, "What do you mean, bro?"
Bigots. Jesus, I'm gonna get canceled this early into this season.
All right, go.
No, but I hear what you're saying, but I think as I said before, I like both deals. I think there's some ways that they can go wrong, but I think the process is right. Another one that came out of left field was Ugarte. And this one I don't think anyone could have ever predicted that we would be linked with Ugarte this summer. And it seems like he's another one that's at an international tournament as well. That move could get tricky because of that. I think Mups was talking about it today that because he's at Copa, he's very focused on that right now. Obviously, Uruguay is, you know, probably one of the favorites for the tournament. So he's very focused on that, but United seems super interested in him, and he's an interesting player. I think a player that's divided a lot of opinions on Twitter, and someone that I think might be a little bit overhated, but I think, again, for the money that we would be spending, I think it would be in that same sort of range, maybe 40 million pounds. For what he can provide, obviously he's not in that Onana tier for me in terms of his, you know, not only his defensive work and his like ground eating and stuff like that, but also, you know, on the ball and his carrying and whatnot. But he's ultra aggressive, you know, kind of that workhorse in the middle. He's gonna give you that like a defensive stability, and also has some good on the ball qualities as well. So again, for 40 million, I wouldn't be mad at it, but I do think there's better options out there, of course. But I just think from what I've seen from INEOS so far, they don't want to necessarily break the bank on any sort of signing, which I can respect, I guess. But what are you guys saying about Ugarte?
Ugarte is one player I watched quite a lot when he was at Sporting. I see why a lot of people are against the deal. And to be honest, I don't think it's a deal you go for when you want out and out six, because that even been watching him a lot, and even though I like him, I do not think he is the best to, obviously play as an out and out six and take the ball from deep. And but he has a lot of good qualities. He's very good in duels. He covers a lot of ground and he covers it very quickly. He's not the worst on the ball as well. He's quite good on the ball. At Sporting, he used to switch it a lot to the wingers, which obviously could help us. He can play as a six part. I feel like his best role being a double pivot, or he would be as a sort of eight as well. He's very tenacious as well. We obviously need all this, and I feel like people are obviously underestimating this deal. I feel like it is a good deal. It's obviously not the best you'd go for, as the sixth market. There's Fofana. There's obviously Onana as well. So those are the other two you could get. But I would think this adds good things and good qualities that we need in our team, because obviously we lack duelers. As you saw last season, no midfielder could duel. We used to lose a lot. And there used to be a lot of space in our midfield, and there's no one to cover it. Obviously, without Mount as well, we had Eriksen, and no one was covering the most ground. So yeah, I think it's a good deal. I don't think it's the worst, and I think people should sort of appreciate it a bit more.
For me, it's just the fact that he's had a not so good time at PSG, which is why a lot of people are more down on the deal than up. Because if you got him from Sporting Lisbon, I guarantee there would be a lot more people excited about the potential of buying him. And I don't want to judge any midfielder in a Luis Enrique system in 2024, so I do have to give him some leeway. I do understand the concerns about him, his height, his major passing is good, but can he play as a lone six? Like Hassan said, I don't think he can. I think he's better in the pivot. Is he the right partner for Kobbie Mainoo? No, like we all want, I think everyone wants Amadou Onana because he's an absolute monster on the floor. It suits Mainoo perfectly. We've got it does, but I don't feel like, I feel like he'd be another stopgap signing, which is why I think we're looking to get him on loan with an obligation or maybe a potential to buy for 40 million, I think. But yeah, I think he'd be a good signing for this season coming up. Also, he also helped knock out USA in the Copa America, so I love that as well. So just bonus points there. Sorry, CK. So yeah, I don't mind him. I think he's all right. Am I excited by him? No. But am I angry about it? No. It's more one of them ones like, if it happens, I'm happy. If it doesn't, I'm not really that bothered.
Yeah, I feel you on that for sure. I think we do need someone in the midfield. We definitely need a midfield signing. So I wouldn't be mad at it. But yeah, he I know he could be one of those guys where like everyone hates on it, and then like he comes and he's not. He's just like good, like a Reguilon from last year. Everyone was like hating on it, and then he was just pretty solid with the time that he was here. So much so that when he left, people were like, "Where's Reguilon? Like, why didn't we keep him?" Which I think we were linked to him again today, I think, which I'd be happy about that. A little backup left back for Luke. Probably cheap, solid, like you know exactly what you're gonna get.
Probably
Speaking
a
of
stop. Probably a stop.
Hassan's enemy number one, Mark Cucurella, is
Cooking.
low-key,
He's cooking.
he's cooking. He low-key, probably top five players of the tournament for.
Yeah, I gotta hold my hands up.
Yeah, cool. What are you saying?
How's that,
Yeah,
bro? Is it
he's
my
been
bad?
quite
Is it
good.
my bad?
It's
Sounds
not
talent
because
ID.
it's not because it's a Euros tournament.
I
So
am noticing.
nah, I'm not saying I'm wrong, but obviously that Spain team's well oiled as well. They look very good.
I can't
Got
lie.
Rodri in front of you. You got Nico Williams,
I
very
can't
old as
lie.
well.
I'll be sorry. I genuinely thought he is the worst player I've ever seen in my life. Like the second behind Anthony. Actually, no, first, because he's the only person I've ever seen in my life, Anthony Cook. So he has to be the worst. But I don't know. I never seen him act like this before. Not even at Brighton. He's never been this good in his. Like, he's keeping out Alejandro Grimaldo. That's how good he's been. Yeah, man. I gotta put my hands up and just say, my bad.
It's just a Euros tournament, so we'll see.
Yeah, interesting. The Spain, yeah, I think Spain are going to win the whole thing, to be honest. But
Yeah.
we will see. We will see. What else do we got? I feel like I'm missing something.
It's going nuts.
All right, so next season, do you guys think, how do you guys think we're going to line up? How do you guys think we're going to play? Do you think, obviously, Ten Hag made a lot of headlines last season because of these humongous gaps in midfield, all the shots that we were conceding, set some sort of, we set every pretty much bad record that you can set in the Premier League last season. How, depending on the signings we make, how do you think we can change or mitigate some of that we established last season?
I feel like De Ligt is the only signing that, currently De Ligt, Ugarte, Xerxes, and Brandsmith. I feel like De Ligt and maybe if we do get Ugarte are the only signings that sort of start with our strongest team. I feel like Brandsmith is very good, obviously. I just feel like off the ball, he is very raw. And as much as people say Lisandro's high and deals, I just don't think you can take Lisandro out of the team. And we could move to a back three, we couldn't, but I feel like it would be more of the same next season. With just, if you bring in a right winger, it'll be here, it'll be them. If we don't, it'll just be Garnacho. And in midfield, it'll be Ugarte or whoever we bring in. Hopefully, Casemiro's still not here. But yeah, and for the play style, I'm thinking, obviously, last season we lost the ball a lot when we got into the attacking areas, which is why our midfield looks so open. If we can sort of next season, if we can get Luke Shaw back on the left, obviously he gets allows you to get the best of Rashford. Rashford would be more narrower, and our play style, I feel like it'll just be better. I don't think there'll be wholesale changes. I just think we'll sort of adapt to it more, and we'll bring in good players, and we'll have good duelers and people to cover ground. So, yeah, I don't see wholesale changes. I just see us getting better, really, as at what we were trying to do last season.
For me, it's Ugarte is similar in Casemiro in terms of their strengths. So is it kind of like more of the same of last season, but just with a younger guy than Casemiro? And if so, it's kind of like, are we gonna go back to kamikaze 50 yards in midfield ball again? Like Hassan said, he doesn't think so. But I don't know. Like I read a few articles saying Ten Hag obviously never wanted that. He told his defenders to drop deep to like push up so many times, but they just ignored him. So, hopefully with De Ligt coming in, Alessandro coming back, maybe they're gonna push up. But then again, that's a failure on the
Yeah.
manager not to convey his communication or not to convey his ideas properly to his players. Maybe that's where Ruud can come in and other assistant manager can come in and help with those ideas. With I feel like we're gonna be more fluid, hopefully going forward with the signing of Xerxes rather than just aiming along towards Højlund, who's never been a target man in his life.
Yeah,
So I
I feel
feel
like,
like that's gonna be a lot different.
I feel like, on the midfield point, because our defensive line would probably be higher, and we'll obviously probably bring in a new midfielder as well, and we'll have Shaw back, and we'll be able to hold the ball in attack. So when we lose the ball, there won't be as much space, which is why I just think there won't be wholesale changes, but there'll be enough to make us improve. And we've had them inconsistent moments last season where we just look very good, and it just falls off a cliff. I feel like there'll be more of them situations where we do look good because of the changes we make. I don't think it'll be a whole new sort of system, style of play. Because when Ten Hag came in, I feel like he had one vision and he has sort of stuck to it. And if you do bring in the right players, and obviously the communication point behind the scenes to get his ideas across, I feel like it could work in our favour. But yeah, the fingers crossed.
I mean, I hope so because with Xerxes coming in, like you said, it does show a more fluid side of play because he's a more of a fluid type language side of player rather than Højlund, who's a bigger, he's a big boy, but he's not a big target man. Yeah, I just hope it's gonna be different. Like I said, defensive line pushed a bit more. I don't know where he's gonna put Cobbie. Like, he's mainly gonna be jumping deep, clicking the ball off the centre backs. Is he gonna be more in the middle third or final third, or is he gonna be all action midfielder? Don't really know. I don't really want him collecting the ball off the centre backs because he can do it, but I don't really want him doing that as his main role type thing, because even though I feel like it'll help improve like his ball progression and his passing ability, which even though it's good, I do think is one of the weaker points of his game. We've seen how good it is in the final third, you know? And I don't know how Ugarte, sorry, negates that. And you know, where's Mason? Where does Mason Mount, like the forgotten man? Where is he fitting all this? You know, it's just I like where the team's going, but there's still a lot of questions rather than answers, I think.
I keep forgetting Mason. We have Mason Mount. Like I saw a picture of him yesterday in the
Bro,
pit, and
does
it's
he
just like, I
exist?
forget this guy's even on the team. But I
Like,
think
does
such
this guy
a
exist?
valuable player to have, in my opinion, just as a squad player. But hope he can stay healthy this year because he needs a healthy season just to like just play football all year and like get some rhythm. But preseason starts in literally 12 days. I don't know if you guys know that, but we
What?
have a game. Yeah, we have I think July 15th is the first game, if I'm not
Oh
mistaken.
my God. Footballers, go to
Yo.
get a union. Footballers, get a union, man. Fight back, bro. What's going on?
It's a madness. It's an absolute
Oh.
madness. Yeah, Monday,
Oh.
July 15th, we play Rosenborg at
Yeah.
Lerkendal Stadion in Norway.
Oh,
So,
did they have Whoa.
I think the international players get an extra 2 weeks off this
yeah,
week.
there's no way.
So
There's no way like Mayday
Whoa,
will mention them.
Southgate already rushing my boy back for like two games. And after shooting the Euros, he has to carry United again. Come on, man. Give my
Nah,
boy a break.
he'll definitely be off because the finals on the 14th. So if England make it or if Argentina make it or
What do you mean if? You mean when?
Nah, it's a big if. It's a big if. You
It's
don't
a
watch the
big
game.
if.
You've not been watching the games.
You mean when we beat Switzerland and when we beat either Turkey or Netherlands? Come on,
I mean,
dog. It's
you
coming on.
should. Look at that. Look at that run. You guys got a cupcake run to the final and you'll still probably lose to
Bro, we're
Spain.
gonna win it all, man. It's coming on. I don't care what anyone.
All right. Famous last words. Famous last words. But yeah, it's a madness that preseason starts this quick and we're gonna have actual Manchester United football to talk about in less than 2 weeks, which is absolutely absurd. I can't tell if I'm excited or just shocked that we're already back here. But
It's interesting. It's gonna be interesting.
yeah, for sure, it'll always be interesting the way we're lining up and who's playing. You know, even if it's preseason, we'll always find a way to make it interesting. Hopefully, see some of those academy guys and some other guys.
Watch out for Harry Amass. Watch out
Yeah,
for
Harry
him.
Amass. Yeah,
Yeah.
for sure. He should get some time this preseason. Hopefully, break into the team
I want
this
to see
season.
Dan go as well. Dan go.
Yeah, totally. Forget. Is he healthy now?
I think so, yeah. I think he's recovering.
Should
And
be.
maybe potentially Schillaci. Potentially.
I feel like it's too early, but
Probably, yeah,
he's
probably a
had a
year
couple of
out.
injuries. He's had a couple of injuries as well, so I don't think we'll see him.
But I hear it. I hear it.
No.
Okay, I think we covered pretty much everything we wanted to. We're at around 40 minutes. Probably wrap it here and hopefully be back next week. Try to recap some more things. Hopefully some signings, maybe something official comes through. But yeah, it was good to be back. Good to be back with the boys. Recap some stuff, and we'll see you guys soon. Any last words, Hassan Abu?
It's coming home.
It's coming. No, it's not.
Oh, see.
It's coming home. I don't
It's
care.
going to
I'm
Spain.
staking my
Sounds
whole
real.
reputation. I'm staking my whole reputation as a journalist. It's coming home.
Wow.
That's why you're a journalist.
Well, we'll be back.
It's not.
Yeah. We'll
That's
be back
the
next week to see if it
state.
did come home. Well, I guess it'll be 2 weeks from now, but we'll see. We will see. Switzerland's tough, man. Mbolo, 88. I can see it. I can see it.
You think Granit Xhaka is going to do anything against Jude Bellingham in midfield, man? Please.
Respect Xhaka, man. That's a
Xhaka's
boomer.
good. Respect
That's a
Manu.
boomer.
Respect Manu.
Of course, I respect Manu, but just respect Switzerland. That's a proper knockout European football team, man. Just be careful what you ask for. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, listen, man. Listen, man. Just because America lost doesn't mean England's going to lose, okay? We have talent.
I have no expectations for USA. I'm not. I have no pride in my footballing country, man. There's no.
Oh, this.
I'm not. I couldn't be asked. Okay. We're out of here, and we will talk to you guys next week. Peace.
See you.
Peace.